It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 16 in the National Football League, which means for a lot of you, it is championship weekend. And for others, it's all about a daily life, baby, getting the daily dose of daily fantasy football. We got a lot where that's coming from today. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman for a while. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. He's at Evan Silva, the czar of Roto World, master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. RossTucker.com, that's always going to be the hub for this and any of the other RT Media branded podcasts like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast. But very excited today. We know some of you are in your championships. Congratulations and good luck. We will break down every game, starting with the AFC in this podcast, the NFC in tomorrow morning's podcast. But we wanted to get a little daily fantasy in here, since a lot of you, unfortunately, are not in your championship. And we're doing that by bringing in Alvin Zeidenfeld from DraftKings. You can follow him at Al Zeidenfeld. And Alvin, we like to do this every once in a while. You actually won. I mean, you were on DraftKings and you won a lot of money.
Yeah. Last year in the $1,500 Millionaire Maker, the one time they gave away $1 million last year, I came in second place by 0.5 points. That's basically five rushing yards for $350,000. First place in that tournament was $1 million.
So the guy that won a million, he won $650,000 more than you based on five rushing yards?
Yeah, very, very scary situation, too. So I was up in the fourth quarter, and I basically needed to fade a Frank Gore rushing touchdown. He failed to get in on first down, and then they gave it to him again on second down against the Falcons, and that cost me $650,000.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Evan, you were saying before we even got on the air that Alvin, you know all about this guy, and he's like your hero.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. Al Smith, I mean, I started really paying attention to the stuff that he says, like last off season, especially during NBA season. And, I mean, he gives awesome NBA advice. I mean, there was a run during NBA season last year where, I mean, I was crushing it just, and I don't know anything about NBA. I don't know anything about NBA. I was just going straight off Al Smith's advice. He's awesome.
So, Alvin, what's your deal, man? So, obviously, DraftKings, you won $350,000 last year, but what, like, is this all you do? What's your deal?
Well, this is the main part of my day. In the morning, I put together some of my research and my lineups, and the afternoon, I have our live show on Roto Grinders where we kind of talk about strategy for the night's games, whether it's baseball or we do a Friday show with a couple other guys for football, but... You know, I mean, I start my work on football early in the week, and then I really focus on NBA every single day until about Friday after practice reports come out, and then I finalize my NFL rosters for the weekend.
Wow, that is awesome, man. So this is, once again, living proof that you can win with DraftKings. Now, who do you like this weekend? We have a lot of our listeners, Alvin, that probably aren't in there in their championship for their redraft league, or quite frankly, even if they are, maybe they're feeling so good about themselves that they want to take a spin at DraftKings.com. Is there anybody you particularly like, anybody that you think represents a lot of value on DraftKings this week?
Well, it's going to really come down to some of the practice reports from Thursday and from Friday, but there's some value that is jumping off the page a little bit. There's a couple of games that have really high over-unders, and that's Atlanta at New Orleans and Indy at Dallas. If DeMarco Murray doesn't play, you've got Joseph Randle sitting at the absolute minimum salary at $3,000 on DraftKings. He's going to be extremely heavily owned, and if DeMarco doesn't play, he pretty much becomes a must-play this weekend. Like, if you just fade him at your own risk.
Interesting. Anybody else that jumps out to you across any of the other games?
Yeah, I mean... Trey Mason at 4,600, I think, is a good value. There's a lot of value at quarterback. Some of it's a little bit safer, like Matt Ryan at 7,400, Russ Wilson at 7,100. Some of it's a little more dangerous, a little higher variance, like Andy Dalton on Monday night against Denver. Denver's got a really tough pass defense, but you would assume that the Bengals are going to be behind and he's going to have to throw it more than normal, and he's priced with somebody who doesn't normally have to throw it that much. So there could be value in Andy Dalton this week at 5,900 on DraftKings as well.
So just out of curiosity, when you said you do your research, a lot of it is the practice reports and also the Vegas stuff?
Yeah, I start with the Vegas stuff early in the week, and I kind of look at preliminary matchups, which teams' defense versus position are in an advantage situation. Which games do I think could possibly shoot out? But obviously, before I can really settle on what the value is going to be for the week, I need to know who's in and who's out, especially at this time of the year when everybody's, you know, bumps and bruises and nicked, and some guys are in and some guys are out. And when that happens, you get a lot of big-time value situations, kind of like last week with Marquez Wilson.
Any questions you have, Evan, for your idol here, Al Smith?
No, I mean, he pretty much hit on all of it. You know, thanks for coming on the show, Al Smith, and I'll be looking forward to watching your show on Friday evening.
And Alvin, we will we'll have you on again, man, if you're up for it, especially January during the playoffs. We're going to be heavy into daily, maybe even next week as well. So we really appreciate you hopping aboard.
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, this is the perfect time for people who haven't gotten into daily to start getting into it, because, I mean, this is championship week, and 85-90% of the people who play fantasy football are pretty much done for the year, and they haven't tried daily yet. This is the exact perfect time because, as you said, it goes on week 16, 17, and all the way through the playoffs until the Super Bowl.
And you know what they should do, Alvin? They should go to DraftKings.com, because that's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you, yes, you, Alvin, already did, but anybody can win instant cash every week. That's the beauty of one-week fantasy. You play whenever you want. Every week, it's a brand new season. Takes watching football to a whole new level. Pick your team in minutes, and you could win enormous cash prizes. Like my man Alvin, who Evan affectionately calls Al Smith. One guy turned $10 into $5,000. Who cares about that guy? Alvin won $350,000 and was 5 rushing yards away from $1 million. You got to get on this. People really win. Head over to DraftKings.com right now and use promo code FEAST to play for free in the $10 million Fantasy Football World Championships. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Alvin, you're the man. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
Next meal.
Hello, Ross. Hello, Evan. Since this is the AFC podcast for Week 16, let's start off with Thursday Night Football. It's Tennessee at Jacksonville.
I love this game because I have one question for Evan. Is there a single guy in this game that you would play? I can think of one and only one. We'll see if it matches up.
Delanie Walker, I'm guessing, would be your pick.
Correct. Okay. By the way, it's Delanie, yeah, dude. Delanie Walker.
Oh, okay. Delanie. Yeah, I mean, he's a top 12 option at tight end. Charlie Whitehurst has made 3 starts this year. Delanie Walker was solid in one of them, bad in another one, and scored a TD and had like over 50 yards in the third. So, you know, there are no guarantees with Charlie Whitehurst at quarterback, but I agree, you know, the receiving situation is still up in the air. Kendall Wright may or may not play. Nate Washington is, you know, kind of just a guy. And Derek Hagan would be third in line there at wide receiver. Delanie Walker should see, you know, 7 to 10 targets in a pretty good matchup for Tennessee. You know who I do like, though, is the Jaguars defense. I noticed that they're priced really cheap on daily sites. They get a lot of sacks. They're at home. The over-under is 41 points, which I believe is the third lowest of Week 16. So they check a lot of boxes for streaming defenses that we're looking for. Jaguars D.
Next meal.
San Diego at San Francisco. And since this is the AFC version, well, let's talk about San Diego only.
Let's do that, Bri. Keenan Allen, broken collarbone. He's out. Niners defense played pretty decently against the Seahawks, but the week before against the Raiders, Derek Carr lit them up. Is there a guy that you think Keenan Allen being out especially benefits for the Chargers, Evan, whether it's a running back or Floyd or Gates or Eddie Royal, whoever?
Yeah, he's 14th in the NFL among wide receivers in targets. So there's definitely going to be a fallout from that. I think that most likely targets will be spread amongst Antonio Gates, among, you know, Eddie Royal, Malcolm Floyd, maybe the running backs get a little bit more. So I don't think that you can pinpoint one guy and say, oh, he's going to jump into the Keenan Allen role, because Keenan Allen has a pretty defined role in that offense. And I don't think that, you know, if you look at the skill sets of the other players, I don't think that somebody is just going to all of a sudden explode, especially in a game against San Francisco, which I still think of their defense is pretty good. I do kind of like Antonio Gates. He's picked it up recently since the Chargers bye, and the 49ers are really banged up at inside linebacker. Not only are they without Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, of course, but now they'll be without Chris Borland.
Yeah, that's a good point, I think, and that might help Antonio Gates. Good call. Anybody else?
No, the running back situation is one to avoid. It doesn't look like Ryan Matthews is going to play. Last week, Donald Brown played more snaps than Brandon Oliver, but Brandon Oliver had more touches. So you don't know which way that's going to go. You know, it could just as easily be Donald Brown getting more touches. Just way too much uncertainty to rely on a guy like that, you know, a replacement level talent in a running back committee in a tough matchup in week 16.
Next meal.
The Cleveland Browns at the Carolina Panthers.
Well, Evan, I got to tell you, I swung and missed on Johnny Manziel last week, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I remember saying for a couple weeks in a row that he couldn't possibly play worse than Brian Hoyer. I was wrong. He was worse. I mean, he was a decent amount worse than the guy that had been playing the worst quarterback in the league for about a month, and Johnny came in and was even worse. I mean, now they're going against Carolina that's played better defensively the last couple times out. Is there a Brown in this matchup? Josh Gordon, I mean, can you play any of the receiving options for the Browns given their quarterback?
Oh, it's rough. I mean, you just have to be crossing your fingers that, you know, Manziel can float a pass up there for Josh Gordon to pluck out of the air and take for a TD. You know, it's tough. He was only targeted four times. Even with the Browns falling behind 17-0 early last week, they only let Manziel attempt 18 passes, which makes sense because of how poor of a passer he was. And I'm sure that he doesn't light it up as a passer in practice either, so they know about him. There's not going to be a whole lot of volume in the passing game, and the quarterback looks incapable of getting into a rhythm and, you know, completing a lot of passes. So Josh Gordon, at this point, he looked like a wide receiver one against Atlanta about 3 weeks ago, and now he's like a crapshoot third receiver in fantasy because, you know, the circumstances have changed and it doesn't look promising for really any member of the Browns' offense right now. The running backs they're in a committee, and the offense looks incapable of moving. That's not a good combination.
Next meal.
The Baltimore Ravens at the Houston Texans.
Both AFC teams, so we'll look at both of them in this matchup. Let's start with the Ravens. Obviously, this is a game that they have to win, going against a pretty good Texans defense that, what'd they hold the Colts to, 14 points last week or 17? Pretty close, low-scoring game. What does that mean in your mind for Justin Forsett, Steve Smith, and Torrey Smith?
I think Forsett gets back on track this week. The Texans have not played great run defense all year. The Ravens have one of the best O-lines in football. I think they have a good enough offensive line that they can somewhat contain J.J. Watt so that he doesn't just blow up their blocking schemes. You know, I would, with Taliaferro out for the year, he's not a threat to Justin Forsett anymore. Forsett saw 17 touches last week. Bernard Pierce saw 6. And, you know, I think that Justin Forsett really rebounds at Houston.
How about the receivers, Steve or Torrey?
This is another game with a low over-under, 41 points. With Torrey back, you know, and you don't know about his health, and Steve Smith has just not been the same guy since the first month of the season. So they're just kind of dicey third receivers in fantasy. You can't really – I mean, I wouldn't want it to be relying on either of them, if at all possible. I'd look at the practice reports and see what it looks like for Torrey Smith. You know, I'd be checking Roto World. I think that if he looks like he's going to be anywhere near 100%, he would be a better option than Torrey Smith or than Steve Smith. I really don't think you can play Steve Smith at this point in the season.
So as of when we're recording this Wednesday early afternoon, we don't know if it's going to be Case Keenum or Thad Lewis at quarterback for the Texans. It does look like Andre Johnson's going to play. Where does that put you for Andre Johnson? DeAndre Hopkins, are those still guys that you would play, or is the quarterback conundrum again too much to have those guys in your lineup?
It's just another situation where there's so much unknown that ideally you would be able to just avoid it. But some people are going to have to play DeAndre Hopkins or Andre Johnson because they don't have, you know, better options. And in those situations, you're just kind of hoping and keeping your fingers crossed because it could be really ugly. Or Case Keenum, look, he had a few games where he showed aggressiveness as a passer and he was willing to take some chances and he can make some things happen with his legs, but he was also a disaster, especially as he started to play more. I don't know, maybe he could catch the Ravens by surprise. The game is at home. It also might be Thad Lewis. You know, it's just, there's so much uncertainty that, you know, if you're playing in daily leagues, you're not even messing with this situation. But if you're in, you know, a redraft championship with a somewhat larger roster, you're just kind of crossing your fingers.
What about Arian Foster? Because of the quarterback situation, do you lean more heavily on him? Or do you think the Ravens are going to just try to eliminate him, put it all on the quarterback so he's not a good play?
Oh, I'm sure that the Ravens will do that. I mean, I'm sure that they will, and they have a great run defense. But Arian Foster, you know, Bill O'Brien is willing to stick with the run even when his team falls behind. And I think that he will particularly be willing to do that with Case Keenum or Thad Lewis at quarterback. So I think Arian Foster could finish this game with 30 touches. And, you know, even if he's averaging 3 yards a carry, and he'll be a decent bet for a goal line score. So Arian Foster should be locked in. I know that the matchup is tough. The situation is not ideal at all, but he's going to get the ball a lot, and he's a really good player.
Next meal.
Moving on, Minnesota Vikings at the Miami Dolphins.
Vikings defense has been pretty consistent, Evan. The Dolphins, I mean, I don't know, man. They can move the ball at times. Mike Wallace is making some plays. They just can't consistently score points.
Yeah, Tannehill over the past 2-3 weeks, you know, he's still completing a high percentage of his passes, but he's never going to be a big-time downfield thrower, and he's definitely a quarterback who needs a solid run game to be an effective, NFL quarterback, I think. And the run game has kind of gone and went over the past month or so, and yeah, I mean, this should be a situation where the running game gets back on track because the Vikings have, you know, a bottom half run defense. And Lamar Miller, I mean, still over the course of the year, I think he's averaging almost 5 yards a carry. It's been an issue of the Dolphins committing a lot of work to him, which, I mean, they did last week. He got the ball out. He wasn't very effective. So, I think this is another low-scoring game. There are actually a lot of those on the slate for week 16 where you possibly can avoid them. But look, Jarvis Landry is getting a ton of targets. Mike Wallace is making plays. The one concern with Wallace this week is that the Vikings for the first time all year use Xavier Rhodes to shadow the opposing number one. And he did a great job against Calvin Johnson. So Will they do that against Mike Wallace? I don't know, but that would be a concern for Mike Wallace's outlook. I like Jarvis Landry in this game. I think he's going to get the ball a lot in the middle of the field.
Next meal.
Patriots at the Jets.
So Darrelle Revis and company coming back to play the New York Jets. The Jets typically, Evan, play the Patriots pretty tough. Patriots a lot of times aren't able to put up a ton of points. I mean, I'm assuming Gronk is still a go, but where are you in terms of Edelman or LaFell potentially in somebody's league or even the running back situation?
Yeah, this is going to be the Jets Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't know what it means for, you know, how the game is going to go, but I would expect them to be at their best or what, you know, whatever that entails. You know, I wouldn't expect a big day from LeGarrette Blount or Jonas Gray, who actually outplayed LeGarrette Blount last week. I mean, that's become a situation just to totally avoid. You're playing Gronk, and Edelman and LaFell have good matchups against those weak Jets corners, but I think that these games become fairly unpredictable. It's a division game. It's at the Jets, and this is their Super Bowl, man. I mean, I don't think the Patriots are going to go light them up.
As for the Jets, is there anybody? Decker's been doing a little something-something. I have him in one of my leagues. Any Decker love, or do you look at it and say, do you think that they'll put Revis shadowing Decker and just eliminate him from the face of the earth?
Yeah, any way you cut it, Eric Decker has a tough matchup, whether it will be Darrelle Revis or Brandon Browner or, you know, Kyle Arrington. I mean, I don't think that any of the Jets receivers have good matchups. The Patriots have played really good run defense over the past 5 weeks. They're allowing under 3 yards a carry. So I don't think you can look at Chris Johnson or Chris Ivory and say you want to play them. I wouldn't want to mess with any Jets skill position players with anything on the line against the Pats. I mean, they have a good run defense at this point in the season, and they've had a good pass defense, I think, all season.
Because sometimes you need a little fun with your sports.
This is not a sports show. This is a me show.
The Steve Zavid Show from Yahoo Sports Radio.
Sally, how soon before Scott's daughter Instagrams her?
Sports talk with fun and frivolity.
Are you out of your mind?
I mean, I'm not talking about a sports show.
God, I sound terrible, don't I? Oh, excuse me. Hello and welcome.
Take three.
Listen to the Steve Zavid Podcast on Podcast One.
Just search Zavid. C-Z-A-B-A-N.
I got carried away. I'm very sorry.
Next meal.
The Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Interesting game. Very. By the way, your boy Kelce, that touchdown he had, like if it was a different uniform, I would have believed that that was Gronk. I would have believed you that that was Gronk on that. I would have been like, holy crap, the Chiefs traded for Gronk, and he just was out in the slot, slant in, bounced off three dudes for a touchdown. He did have another fumble, by the way. But let's start with the Chiefs. Niall Davis got a little something-something after Jamaal Charles was getting beat up last week. But I'm assuming at this point, if you're in a championship and you have Jamaal Charles, you're going to play him. But is Niall Davis or Travis Kelce or maybe even Dwayne Bowe, given how bad the Steelers' corners are, an option?
Not messing with Dwayne Bowe. I agree with your thinking. It's a great matchup on paper. I mean, if you look at the passing game production that the Steelers have given up recently, they got lit up by Andy Dalton. Zach Mettenberger had a good game against them. Drew Brees had 5 TDs against them. And Matt Ryan had a pretty good game against them last week without Julio Jones, which, you know, obviously is the Falcons' offensive centerpiece. So the Steelers are terrible in pass D. That makes Alex Smith kind of an interesting streamer this week. And actually, I noticed in our league, Ross, that for the championship, Manesh Bula is taking on James Mangus.
Manesh Bula is in the championship, huh?
Yeah, Manesh Bula, he finished first, man. And he's starting RG3, and James Mangus is starting Alex Smith at quarterback. So long live the quarterback streamers. These guys are in the finals streaming QBs. which I thought was cool. But
that
I
is funny,
like Alex
man.
Smith. I kind of like Alex Smith as a streamer. Travis Kelce over the past 5 weeks is the number three overall fantasy tight end during that span, behind only Gronk and Kobe Fleener, who had a couple of like two TD games in there to spike his production. But Travis Kelce is a top five option, I think, for this week. The Steelers give up the eighth most fantasy points to tight ends. I don't think you can trust Nile Davis. Before last week's game, his touch totals over his previous three games were 2, 0, and 4. So when Jamal Charles is good to go, Nile Davis isn't going to get the ball. And I think Jamal Charles will be good to go. I think he has a big game against Pittsburgh.
What about for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean, I know what we're doing with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Is there a matchup you like for Heath Miller? Or maybe in a daily league, is this potentially a Martavis Bryant, or maybe even Marcus Wheaton or Big Ben? Your thoughts on the other side of the matchup? I don't know, man. The way Ben holds on to the ball going against Tom Bali and Justin Houston.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like it either. And the Chiefs are number two in the NFL in pass defense. They're like top eight or top six in sacks. I agree with you, man. You know, I don't think it's a good matchup at all for Ben Roethlisberger. So, therefore, I would avoid those complimentary receivers. Martavis Bryant, his usage has been so inconsistent. Marcus Wheaton plays more but isn't as good, you know. And the Chiefs allow the fewest receptions and the fewest receiving yards in the league to tight ends. So you put Heath Miller up against that, and it doesn't look good for Heath Miller.
Next meal.
The Indianapolis Colts are at the Dallas Cowboys.
Colts offensively starting to get weird. I mean, Luck is turning the ball over quite a bit and bad turnovers. They're getting hurt by Trent Richardson, Reggie Wayne. They're not putting up very many points, but they are going against the Cowboys defense, which is not great. You know, I'd say the Cowboys defense is opportunistic more than anything else.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the Colts in this matchup?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting game. And T.Y. Hilton it looks like he's probably going to be questionable with a hamstring injury. And, I mean, I love T.Y. Hilton, and he has been a fantasy machine all year. But wide receivers with hamstring injuries, that's not good, man. I mean, I don't care if it's the slightest tweak, you know, that's scary. I think that if he plays, you got to start him, but it's a tricky situation, and that takes me off of Andrew Luck a little bit. Like in daily leagues, I would be looking more toward Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers this week. I don't know. I agree with you. It's a tough situation with T.Y. Hilton banged up. You know, Reggie Wayne's out there trying to play with a torn triceps, and for some reason they're still stubbornly trying to feed him the rock. You know, I would like to see a lot more of Dante Moncrief, but the Colts seem kind of intent on keeping him under wraps. And I don't know. It's a tough one.
Next meal.
The Red Hot Buffalo Bills, Ross's Red Hot Buffalo Bills, at the Oakland Raiders.
My Buffalo Bills. Let's start with the Bills on offense going against the Raiders defense that just let Alex Smith get 300 yards. Are there Bills that you like this week offensively?
You know, I look at this game and I look at the pattern of how things typically go, and the Bills just upset the Packers at their house. And now they're traveling cross country to take on the Raiders, who are awful, but they're going all the way across the country. And the Raiders, I mean, they've won their last two home games. They beat the 49ers and they beat the Chiefs. You know, I think this is a trap game for Buffalo. I know that Buffalo isn't like a playoff contender or anything at this point, but I think it's a trap game if you just look at the kind of how the teams are entering this one. I really like Latavius Murray in this game against the Bills. The Bills have really struggled in run defense. I mean, it's like a month and a half, 2 month stretch where they've given up a lot of production to RBs. Eddie Lacy was crushing them last week. Jerick McKinnon had a huge game against them. Juwan Thompson broke off a bunch of big runs against them. C.J. Anderson had three TDs. I love Latavius Murray this week. I know that he disappointed some people last week because the Raiders fell behind and got away from the run. But I really like how this game sets up for him. As for the Bills, you know, I like Fred Jackson, and then I don't really like anybody else. Sammy Watkins had that big game against Bradley Roby in week 14, but then he crashed back down to earth. He had one catch for 28 yards on six targets against the Packers. So I like Fred Jackson and Latavius Murray, and I wouldn't even consider anybody else in either of these games or on either of these teams.
Next meal.
Our final game, Monday Night Football, the Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is an interesting one. You know, we talked to Alvin Ziedenfeld, Al Smizzle, and said that there's a lot of variant for Andy Dalton, but this could be a good Andy Dalton game. You know, the Broncos' run defense has been pretty good, so I'm curious to get your thoughts on what that means for your boy, Jay Hill. And the Bengals have typically been pretty disastrous, really, in primetime games. What does that mean for you, Evan?
I don't know. Is that predictive? Is that does that mean that they're going to suck again in the primetime game? I don't know. Or is that just small sample size, you know, maybe three or four games where
it's more than that. It's more than three or four games.
Okay. How
many games I would think that there were people at this point that would argue that it is in fact predictive.
Okay. What would be the cause of that?
It would be the fact that, number one, they're usually playing against better competition if they're in a primetime game because they usually don't put stinkers on primetime. So that's part of it. And number two, you know, maybe their psyche is such that when it gets to be a big game, maybe the coaches behave differently in terms of the game plan. And maybe they just don't have guys that are great in that spotlight. It doesn't feel like Andy Dalton typically plays well in these games.
Yeah, so am I going to let that affect my fantasy football decision making?
I don't know. Are you? That's why you're on the podcast.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean I wouldn't start Andy Dalton regardless. And I get where Al Smith is coming from with that logic that maybe he will end up putting up more pass attempts than usual and therefore that could translate to more box score success. And I know that it worked out kind of, you know, with the same logic. Andy Dalton had a big game against Pittsburgh a few weeks back. But the Broncos are only 3.5-point favorites at Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati, I mean, you have to think that they know by now that their formula for success is to give the ball to Jeremy Hill a lot. Because that's the way that they have had success. They don't have a great defense. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not like a shutdown defense. Their quarterback is a liability. So I the Broncos have been good in run defense. They're also going to be without Brandon Marshall, who's been their best linebacker all year. Danny Trevathan also will not play. He's been out for most of the season, but that's still a loss. And I would think that they would want to try to pound the rock with Jeremy Hill, because that's their recipe for success. And we've seen them get away from that at times, and they just get, you know, they end up getting their clocks cleaned. So rational thinking would expect, you know, would indicate that Hugh Jackson will just put the ball in Jeremy Hill's belly a bunch of times, even if it's not working early in the game.
So you like Hill in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I love Jeremy Hill, period. I mean, he's a monster. He's a touchdown scoring machine. He's excellent in the passing game. He's the kind of running back that can carry an offense, literally carry an offense. He can be your offense for long stretches in a game. And I really like running backs that are like that. Yes.
What about the Denver Broncos in this game? Obviously, people are starting to worry a little bit about Peyton Manning. Does that affect I'm sure you're playing Demaryius Thomas. Does it affect Emmanuel Sanders? And how about Julius Thomas? You've had some interesting tweets about him this week.
Yeah, you know, It's really interesting, Ross, because the Broncos, they have changed the way that they play, and it's not just, oh, they got ahead and, you know, they started running the ball a lot. You know, it's now a month long, you know, scenario where they are a balanced to run heavy team. And I don't know if they're, if they have concerns about Peyton Manning. I know that they have a big time bell cow running back in CJ Anderson. And you know, Virgil Green played ahead of Julius Thomas last week. He's been a top five run blocking tight end, and he more fits what the Broncos' personality is at this stage of the season than what Julius Thomas brings to the table. So, I mean, I don't know. It could easily go back to Julius Thomas on Monday night. You know, there's an extended rest period for his ankle, and maybe he'll come back and blow up. The Cincinnati has given up a good amount of production to tight ends over the course of the year. But the way that the Broncos have played now for the last month, they're a balance to run heavy offense featuring CJ Anderson.
Well, that'll do it for the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast with Ross Tucker and Evan Silva. Tomorrow we will have the NFC fantasy breakdown, and I will have a lot to say about the Cowboys running back situation that you will not want to miss. We really appreciate those of you that spread the word via social media. We all tweet out a link to this bad boy, whether it's me at Ross Tucker NFL or even facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL or Evan at Evan Silva, as well as Bri is at RTF Podcast. If you need a last minute holiday item, you can always go to RossTucker.com, click on one of those Amazon banner ads. Takes you to a landing page where there's a million things you can buy at Amazon on the cheap. They'll get to you immediately, and we get credit for that. That's another way that you can support the podcast. Or, of course, DraftKings.com, put in that code FEAST. Or Stamps.com, and if you forward the Stamps.com, sign up to me at Ross@RossTucker.com. We'll give you a shout-out, or you can ask Evan your question. I think we're done here. Let's eat.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.